Wait. All persons have business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, draw nine, give your attention. This court is now in session. God save this honorable court in the United States. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. I'm Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel. To my left is Judge Mormon. We're here today in the matter of Palmer versus Nicholson, docket number 05-1074. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Eldon Nygaard on behalf of Gerald Palmer.
Thank you.
James Cowden appearing on behalf of the Secretary of Department of Veterans Affairs, and with me at the table is co-counsel Carolyn Washington.
Thank you. Are both parties ready to proceed?
I am.
Each party will have 30 minutes to present their respective arguments. Mr. Nygaard, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time?
Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 8 minutes for a rebuttal.
Eight?
Correct, sir.
8 minutes it will be. You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Eldon Nygaard, and I'm here to represent United States Air Force veteran Gerald Palmer. Counsel and court, there's but one issue before the court today, and that is whether the Board of Veterans Appeals erred when it determined that Mr. Palmer's letters to the regional office did not constitute a notice of disagreement with regard to the RO's rating decision of August 12, 1971, and that the rating decision was then final. Mr. Palmer respectfully requests the court to vacate the BVA decision and remand this matter with instructions to apply or to correctly apply 38 CFR section 19.113 in reviewing the notice of disagreement. Whether the letters sent by Mr. Palmer to the VARO in response to the RO's denial of benefits constituted a notice of disagreement is a question of law for the court, this court, to determine de novo under 39 U.S.C. section 7261 sub A sub 1, and also see Beryl, B-E-Y-R-L-E versus Brown, 9 Vet App 242, and that's a 1996 decision.
Can you explain, Mr. Nygaard, why it is that you believe this is a question of law?
Yes, because, Your Honor, in response to that, it's a question of law because they specifically, the administrative law judge in the opinion, the BVA opinion, specifically said that a appellate review, and emphasis was added, if appellate review request was required. And that's a misstatement of the law under 1971 law. Rule 13 has been replaced by Rule 201. And really, even though he mentioned 38 U.S.C. 19.113, he was really quoting and talking about Rule 201. So that's why I feel it's a matter of law. And if you allow me to proceed further on down on this trail, I think I can make that clear.
Well, before you go down that trail, in your amended principal brief on page 15, you indicated that the BVA decision was clearly erroneous. You asked us to vacate the decision and to order VA to award retroactive benefits. Has your position changed?
Yes, Your Honor, it has. Thank you.
Clarify that.
And it's changed in that I work with an associate counsel. We take these cases pro bono, and he's in another state. And at the point that this was briefed, that particular brief was done. I'll be candid, I did not review it properly. And in reviewing it now, I think it hinges on other matters, which I'd like to lay out for the court. I contend that the board's decision of December 7th, 2004 was an error. The regulation that defined what was required to constitute a notice of disagreement in 1971 was Rule 13, as I've said. I think you have that in before you there, and the word that I'd like to point out that is the operative word in this whole case in 1971 regulation was the notice should, and I emphasize the word should, be in terms which can be reasonably construed as evidencing a desire for review. It was not until Rule 201, several years later, that the word should change to the word must. And I believe that in...
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you again. Didn't the court require you to submit that supplemental briefing because both parties missed the fact that the law had changed?
Yes, and I just realized here in the last couple months that that's what you were pointing at.
So I think the court's well aware that the regulations have changed. I think there was an issue that we asked you to brief us on that maybe we might want to focus on. If we review this de novo, could we not and should we not decide whether or not this was an NOD?
That's correct.
Directly.
I agree with that, sir.
Then there would be no need for a remand on that issue because it would be de novo review.
That's correct.
But if we review this under the clearly erroneous standard, because it's a fact or an application of law to fact, or perhaps even a higher standard, but in any event, because it's one of those, then we would remand it.
That's correct. Although I believe, Your Honor, that the, you know, the...
If we found that there was error.
Right. I think in the Veteran Administration brief, they also pointed out that in these reviews that are... They're not only reviews of law, but they're also reviews of fact, and they kind of walk hand in hand, so it's hard to separate the two. I realize that there's a partial, even though we're reviewing the law in this matter, you have to apply the law to the facts in some way to determine if the correct law was used.
Well, I think in the briefing we gave you, we cited a number of cases. You cited DeBarrel in your discussions just a few moments ago where the court has said this is a question of law. And we asked you to brief with regard to whether or not that is the appropriate standard, whether or not that derived from the fact that at the time the court rendered its initial decisions on this issue, it was because the NOD was in fact a jurisdictional predicate to the court exercising its authority. And that now that that provision of law has been changed and it is no longer a jurisdictional predicate, the question becomes, is it appropriate to conduct a de novo review of determination whether or not a notice of disagreement has been filed by the veteran, or should there be some kind of deferential standard, clearly erroneous or something, to a board decision with regard to that? And it does seem to impact this case with regard to whether or not, if it's de novo, we could render a decision directly. If we determine that the wrong law was applied, you would remand it for application of that law.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I believe just a few days ago I found the case Myers versus Principi, which is a case right on point with this matter.
And what does that say?
Well, and that says in a very similar fact situation in regard to letters of disagreement from the claimant to the RO, in response to a denial of the original claim in 1959, it held that the theories of liberal construction and interpretive doubt would have compelled the RO to construe the appellant's written submissions in the light most favorable to the veteran within the confines of the law. And the proclaimed aims of the adjudicative system would have compelled the RO to take action most beneficial to the appellant. So the court in Myers, after finding that a nod was filed, then went on to say where the VA has failed to procedurally comply with statutory mandatory requirements, the claim does not become final for purposes of appeal to the court, citing Tablazon 8 Vet App 359. And in Tablazon, the court concluded because the RO did not furnish the appellant with an SOC statement, the statement of the case, he was unable to file a formal appeal to the BVA, and the RO decision never became final.
What's your site on Myers?
I'm sorry, sir. I have bad hearing.
The site on Myers.
Site on Myers is 16 Vet App 228, 2002. In this court, in Karnas versus Dewinsky, 1 Vet App 308, 1991 at 313, it states, where the law or regulation changes after a claim has been filed or reopened, but before the administrative or judicial process has been concluded, the version most favorable to the appellant should, and we so hold, will apply unless Congress provided otherwise or permitted the Secretary of Veteran Affairs to do otherwise, and the Secretary did so. This court in Karnas, at this decision, you were arriving at the decision, you cited the 1969 Supreme Court case of Thorpe versus Housing Authority of Durham, 393 U.S. 268, and the 1974 case of Bradley versus School Board, 416 U.S. 696, and you also cited Bennett versus New Jersey, 470 U.S. 632, a 1985 case. And finally, the Bowen versus Georgetown University Hospital case, 488 U.S. 204, a 1988 case. And in reviewing all those Supreme Court cases, this court noted that the Supreme Court applied the law that was most favorable to the party, private party appellant. And in this court in Karnas, at page 313, you went on to state, the rule which we adopt would also comport with the general thrust of the duty to assist and benefit of the doubt doctrines embedded in Title 38 of the U.S. Code and the Code
Counselor,
of Federal Regulations.
Counselor, is that an issue? I mean, has the Secretary disputed the fact that the law?
No, no, sir. It has not.
Okay.
I was just reiterating that as part of the rationale.
Should this court review an NOD de novo or on a deferential standard, and why?
I believe that this would be reviewed under a de novo, because I still don't feel that, even though they had cited the law, I don't believe they applied the right law. By virtue of the statement in the record at page, I think it's 8. At page 8, towards the bottom, it says, you know, right after the judge, after saying they clearly reflect disagreement with the RO's rating decision, however, and most significantly, neither statement expresses or conveys a desire to initiate appellate review, and they emphasize appellate review. Such element is required. So my feeling is that that isn't what the law was in 1971.
No,
I understand.
Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I think we understand that piece of the argument, but what we'd really like you to talk about is what is the standard for review that we should apply at this juncture in regard to, as the Secretary has argued, for instance, the application of Lennox here to indicate that the standard for our review ought to be the deferential standard.
Your
Maybe
Honor,
you can talk about Lennox as a point of departure.
Your Honor, I believe the Myers case, which was also a case that was reviewing something way back in time, 1959, clearly speaks to this issue, and I would be happy to, you know, provide you with a brief on that matter at a later date.
Let me take it one step further. The Secretary has said, and there's a quote in his supplemental brief on page 9 from Lennox. Then he says, he concludes after giving that quote, however, the court's review of a board holding that a particular document was or was not an NOD would primarily be an application of established law to the facts of a particular case and entitled to deference under the clearly erroneous standard of review. Now, do you disagree with that statement, and if so, why?
Okay.
On page 9.
Yeah, I'm just
good. Okay.
Yeah.
to add context around that, if the secretary applied the wrong law, you would not give deference to his determination. You would send it back for him to apply the correct law. So you've been making an argument that the secretary used the wrong law,
right,
regulation. And what we're trying to figure out is what is our standard of review of the secretary's overall determination, because once again, if it's de novo, does it matter what law he applied? We could review it de novo. But if there's deference, then if he used the wrong law, we'd remand it. And so the court is trying to determine whether or not our case law, which indicates that it is de novo, which is predicated on the fact that the NOD was jurisdictional, whether or not that still applies, given that the NOD is no longer jurisdictional to this court. That's what we're trying to get at.
Right, and my argument to that is that it's no longer now, but it at that time it was. In 1971 it was.
Well, in 1971 the court didn't even exist. In 1971, that regulation existed,
right,
and perhaps that regulation should be applied, and I'm not sure the secretary has argued that it shouldn't be. They might differ with you on some interpretation. So let's just accept that that's the regulation that should apply.
Okay.
Then the question becomes, it is now here before the court. Do we step in and just determine de novo that the NOD applying that regulation was, in fact, that the letter was, in fact, an NOD? Or do we give some deference, which might require us to remand the matter to the board? And that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that further delaying this matter and sending it back to the board would help the veteran in this matter. I believe that the court has enough facts, and the facts are not going to change going back to the BVA.
Let's pick up on that point. You said the facts are not going to change. What facts did the board determine with regard to this language?
Okay. The board in its decision says that it was timely filed. I think page 8 of the record. It says that this was timely filed within 1 year. It noted that it clearly reflects disagreement with the RO's rating decision. So now we go right down the list of things that we have to have a valid nod. It says that it was timely. It was within 1 year. It reflected disagreement. And at that time, you know, it was what should be done, not what must be done. And this court can certainly apply that to that time situation where it was not a requirement back then. And so it goes right on down there. But then in the next sentence, he just goes in what I think is clearly the wrong direction. He puts appellate review. It says desire express or conveys a desire to initiate appellate review. And that wasn't the law. It hasn't got anything to do with facts. That wasn't the law. And it's further my opinion that then a statement of the case should have been issued, and had they done that, the VRO instead just wrote to him and explained why his claim was denied. That did not meet the definition of a SOC, since there was no summary of evidence used in deciding the claim, nor was there any summary or citation to applicable laws and regulations and a discussion as to how they affected the determination under Section 38 U.S.C. Section 7105 D sub D and sub 1. The final letter regarding the 1971 claim from the VRO at page 53 still does not provide any information regarding appealing Mr. Palmer's case to the Board of Veterans' Appeals. In addition to the fact that Gerald's case was still pending when he again applied for compensation August 26, 1993, record at page 55 through 58, the earlier 1971 claim was actually the same. Same disability, degenerative joint disease, left knee associated with anterior cruciate ligament injury, left knee and anterior cruciate ligament, left knee.
Mr. Nygaard, let me ask you this question. With regard to the statement of the law that the board makes with regard to the requirement to express an intention to initiate an appeal, What, if any, significance do you accord the letter from the regional office to Mr. Palmer that's found at record 39? And
well,
I point you to the last paragraph there.
Right. I understand that. It's standard boilerplate, fine print at the bottom of the form. And a notice of disagreement is simply a written communication which you had, which makes clear your intention to initiate an appeal, a specific part of our decision with which you disagree. He responded twice after this letter back to the VARO and said why he disagreed. He thought he was complying with those words. This is a layperson that doesn't understand the term of art, initiate an appeal. But he sent two letters, which you see. Well, one's very lengthy.
So you've argued that the board misstated the law with regard to the regulation
right.
that applied, and yet we have the language that the board used in this letter to the claimant. What, if any, effect does that have?
Well, it still isn't. So you're saying that on page 8 of the board's opinion.
What I'm driving at is
they're in sync with this statement, which is a form letter.
That's the point I want you to address. That's correct.
All right.
Assuming, for the sake of argument, that this that the intent to appeal does not appear in the relevant regulation,
right.
What, if any, effect does this notice to the appellant have
okay.
with regard to that intent to appeal?
Thank you, Your Honor. In response to that, I would say that this is the same form that was used throughout that time period when Rule 13 was in existence, and for him to then say such element is required and then cite Rule 13 was not correct in that we weren't taking the rights away. We were allowing due process, even if you had a vague letter going back to the VARO, and again, I refer you to Myers on this, is very clear on that one from your court. I don't believe that when he says such element is required and then cites the law, I think he's citing the wrong law. He's citing the correct law, but I mean, that doesn't represent the law. It should and not must. There's a big difference.
Thank you.
And again, it's clear beyond dispute that there was no statement of case issued. They merely wrote to him and explained why his case was denied. This did not meet the definition of a SOC, as I said. The fact that Gerald's case was still pending when he again applied for compensation, August 26, 1993, record at pages 55 to 58.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
May it please the court. James Cowden appearing on behalf of the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. With me at council table is Carolyn Washington. The issue on appeal is whether or not the court should affirm the December 6, 2004 Board of Veterans Appeals decision, which found that the veteran did not file a valid notice of disagreement with regard to the August 1971 rating decision of the regional office. There are two underlying issues that the court has asked for additional briefing on. The first, in its order of July 18, 2006, the court inquired as to what were the content requirements for notices of disagreement in 1971 at the time that appellant corresponded with VA. The Secretary's position is that in 1971, as is the case currently, notice of disagreements were required to contain statements that could be reasonably construed as expressing disagreement with an agency decision as well as an intent to appeal that decision. Second,
where does that last element come from, please?
I would argue our position is that that second element comes from the text of the statute, from the text of the regulation 19.113.
Okay, would you please turn to that and just point me to the words that indicate an intent to appeal?
I would direct your attention to the second sentence of the regulation, which indicates that the notice should be in terms which can be reasonably construed as evidencing a desire for review of that determination.
How does review equate to appeal?
The Secretary's position, Your Honor, is that the context of the regulation, which appears in Chapter 19, which governs the Board of Veterans' Appeals, as well as the rules of practice for appeals, is that the review that's indicated under 19.113 is and can only be construed as an appellate review.
Well, then, couldn't you argue just the reverse of that, that any request for reconsideration must be construed as an appeal?
I don't believe that would be the case, is that this regulation is discussing the notice of disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the regulation, it indicates what was required for certifying an appeal, making completing and perfecting the appeal. So,
well, then, if 113 is addressing an NOD, and as I understand what you just said, first there's an NOD, then there's an SOC. You didn't say that. I added that,
yeah.
And then there's an appeal.
Correct.
Why would you then truncate the SOC requirement and stuff the requirement to state an intent to file an appeal into the NOD requirement?
Well, I would argue that in order to appeal, there would have to be, if you're starting out your intent, if you're trying to initiate an appeal, it would be necessary for an appellant to indicate, there would have to be some indication to the agency that the veteran was intending to appeal his decision. Otherwise,
but the agency's reg at that time said a desire for review of that determination. And then the following sentence is, it need not be couched in specific language. How do you give expression to that sentence?
I believe that sentence falls in line with, you know, the agency's duty to interpret the correspondence from veterans. However, even though there's a requirement that it be construed liberally and there's no magic words required on the part of the veteran, there has to be some indication of both a disagreement, something that can be construed as a disagreement, as well as an intent for a review of that decision, in order to distinguish such correspondence from another type of letter that would be.
What reg covers the other type of letter you're talking about?